Today, I'm announcing that I will not seek a seventh term as mayor of the city of Chicago. Simply put, it's time. It's time for me. It's time for Chicago to move on.
You're listening to a special edition of All Things Considered. Good afternoon. I'm Melba Lara.
And I'm Steve Edwards.
Chicago's Mayor Richard Daley this afternoon making a stunning announcement. The 68-year-old telling reporters the time to move on is now and the decision feels right. We'll have local reaction from political analysts, talk to some potential candidates for mayor, also chat about what's next for the office and the city. Plus, we'll take your calls at 312-832-3124. That's 312-832-3124. Live coverage of Mayor Daley's announcement begins now. Good afternoon. I'm Melba Lara.
I've always known that people want you to work hard for them. Clearly, they won't always agree with you. And obviously, they don't like it when you make a mistake. But at all times, they expect you to lead, to make difficult decisions, rooted in what's right for them. For 21 years, that's what I've tried to do. But today I'm announcing that I will not seek a seventh term as mayor of the city of Chicago. Simply put, it's time. It's time for me. It's time for Chicago to move on. Improving Chicago has been the ongoing work of my life. I love every minute of it. There has been no greater privilege or honor than serving as your mayor. Working alongside seasoned professionals, incredibly committed business and community leaders, and some of the most dedicated public employees you ever expect, I've had the opportunity to expand, to build, to create, unite, and compromise for the betterment of Chicago. I am deeply grateful to the people of this great city, more grateful than I can fully express. I've given it my all. I've done the best. Now I am ready with my family to begin the new phase of our lives. In the coming days, I know there will be some reflecting on my time as mayor. Many of you will search to find what's behind my decision. It's simple. I've always believed that every person, especially public officials, must understand when it's time to move on. For me, that time is now. The truth is that I've been thinking about this for the last several months. In the last several weeks, I've been increasingly comfortable with my decision. It just feels right. In closing, I want to thank my family for the ongoing love and support. Without it, I could have not done this. And again, to the thousands of Chicagoans who have worked side by side with me every day to confront our challenges, to improve the lives of people, and make this city stronger. I thank them. I could not have done it without you. In the end, this is a personal decision. No more, no less. For the next 7 months, I assure you that I will work as hard as I had for the past 21 years for all the people of Chicago. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Chicago Mayor Richard Daley earlier today taking no questions after his stunning announcement. Gathering reporters today to make an announcement about a cabinet position. WBEZ Sam Hudzik is here now. Sam, this was really a stunner.
It really was. And there have been whispers about this for a while, about how the mayor might not run for another term. But it was how early it was, really, in the past, at least going past the last four re-elections. The mayor hasn't announced his re-election intentions until December, right before the election. Here we are in September. Now, obviously, his wife Maggie's health problems over the years have led to a lot of whispers, but Those whispers existed back in 2006 as well, right before he announced another run then. And I think what this really does here is by announcing so early, it just opens up this race heading into the fall.
Now, the mayor, of course, has a legacy, a long legacy in the city of Chicago. There are many things we could talk about, but lately there's been quite a bit of controversy. Do you think that had anything to do with today's announcement?
You know, I have no idea, and the mayor seemed, in that statement, as you could hear, seemed to say this was a personal decision. This did not have to do with politics. You can look around all you want. I wasn't worried. This was a personal decision. And it's possible that he looked at the low poll numbers and saw that as a problem. But let's keep in mind that no one had publicly come out and said, no big, viable challenger with lots of money had come out and said, I'm going to run for mayor. And you mentioned the legacy. This is Daly City, right? I mean, for the last half century, all but 13 years, the city has been run by a Daly. And the things that he's going to be remembered for, some of the city beautification stuff with downtown, Millennium Park, these bold efforts to resurrect bureaucracies like the Chicago Public Schools and the Chicago Housing Authorities, the controversies surrounding those aren't recent. Those controversies have existed ever since each of those projects began. Millennium Park, overrun, Chicago Housing Authority, the plan for transformation, all sorts of critics have complained about that for years, and some of the slowness with the Chicago Public Schools changes as well. So everything that he has done on this large scale has also been met with problems.
Sam, we'll talk more about what this field for mayoral candidates is going to look like, because it's really turned everything upside down in just a moment. You mentioned polls, though. We saw a recent poll this weekend where Daly's approval numbers in the city of Chicago were below 40%. Now, the mayor has struggled sometimes in the polls. Do you think this had anything to do with his decision?
I think it's hard for the mayor not to look at how this could be a bruising campaign. He hasn't really had a bruising campaign in a very long time, and this was going to be bruising. Whether or not he ended up winning with 60 or 70% of the votes like he has in the past, this was still going to be a bruising campaign, and perhaps he just thought that he didn't want to put his family through that. But he's been around for a long time. The mayor's 68 years old. It is not unreasonable for him to want a break.
And he also mentioned in his statement that we heard a little bit ago on WBEZ, with my family, I'm ready to begin a new phase in our lives. Very briefly, you mentioned Maggie Daly. Her health certainly has been an issue recently.
Right. And our intern, Emily Walensky, was there today at the announcement. She reported that Maggie was looking great, that she was standing next to the mayor. She looked proud. She looked happy. So maybe this was just something that the family was waiting for.
So let's turn then to what happens next now for the office of mayor of Chicago.
Oh, my goodness.
This turns into a melee now.
And it turns into a melee going into a fall election where you have huge races for governor in Illinois and huge races for Senate. And a lot of that attention, and I would even say a lot of that money, potential campaign fundraising money, is going to get swallowed up by the mayoral race. I mean, when you look at Illinois politics, governor is not bigger than the mayor of Chicago. And some of the names that we've seen floated out there in the recent months, a few aldermen, Tom Tunney, Leslie Hairston, Joe Moore. And I talked to Joe Moore a little bit earlier, just a few minutes ago, and I asked him what his reaction was to Mayor Daly's shocking announcement.
I'm simply stunned. I think, like everyone else, I assume that the mayor was laying the foundation to run for re-election again. And so, I've been alive for 52 years, and for 40 of these last 52 years, I've only known a mayor named Daly at City Hall. And it'll be quite a different place when Richard M. Daly moves on.
You've been a pretty fierce critic of the mayor's at times. Is this a good day for Chicago or a bad day?
Well, it's neither. It's part of the genius of our democratic system. We don't have coups. We have peaceful transitions in power. I do think, however, that whoever becomes mayor is going to have to govern in a style much different than the current mayor. They're going to have to be a less autocratic, and they're going to be more open and more transparent. I think the people of the city expect nothing less.
And are you going to be one of the people who's going to run for mayor?
Oh, I'm still reeling from the news, and I haven't made any decision. But certainly, anyone who who cares about the city, who's in a position to try to influence policy, will take a look at it. And I certainly am going to take a look at it.
Are you surprised at how early the mayor announced? Normally, he doesn't announce his reelection until mid-December.
Yeah, I think it shows that he was going to go out on his own terms and was going to just do it at a time when people least expected him to make that kind of decision.
And does this open up a free for all for the office? I imagine we're going to see lots of aldermen throw their names in the coming hours.
You're going to see a lot of people throw their names in, and it'll be a couple of days before that. They begin to winnow out the names. But I suspect it's going to be a crowded field, and we'll probably be looking at a runoff next year. There's not going to be anyone who just emerges as a clear favorite.
And again, Melba, that was Alderman Joe Moore, who's expressing his interest in maybe running. He's been a fierce critic of the mayor's through the years. I also want to point out that a couple of Cook County officials, Tom Dart, the sheriff, and the retiring Cook County assessor, Jim Houlihan, have both expressed an interest in this. Also, Manny Flores, who was kind of a renegade alderman for a while. He's now the chairman of the Illinois Commerce Commission, but I talked to a friend and advisor of Manny Flores's just a few minutes ago, and he said he thinks Flores will probably get in the next couple of days.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you, Melba.
WBEZ's political reporter Sam Hudzik. You're listening to live coverage and analysis of Chicago Mayor Richard Daley's announcement today that after over 20 years in office, he is not running for reelection. This is WBEZ and WBEZ.org. I'm Melba Lara. I'm going to bring in WBEZ Steve Edwards now to have a conversation with Dick Simpson, who's joining us now, the political science professor from the University of Illinois at Chicago. Dick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Melba.
Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Go ahead, Melba.
Alderman Moore was talking a little bit about how his reaction to what was going on and that the mayor is really going out on his own terms. What was your reaction when you heard the announcement today?
I think so, and I take the mayor at his word. I've always thought this would be a personal decision based on his age, his wife's health, his sense of timing, and how he wanted to proceed, and I think that's what we saw today.
Professor Simpson, lots of political scientists like you have rated over the years big city mayors, and they've taken a look at mayors in Chicago and New York and the other major American cities over the last century plus. Where do you think Richard M. Daley ranks on that list if it were to be done today?
Well, the last time a scientific poll was done, actually his father, Richard J. Daley, was at the top of the list. Not a decision I necessarily agree with, since I sometimes oppose Richard J., but I understand it. Richard M. Daley is moved into the top 10, and it usually takes a little time for that to settle into sort of a final ranking. If you think of the rankings of presidents like Washington and Lincoln, it's the same kind of process.
And even with your hesitation there, why do you say top 10? What makes him worthy of that rating in your view?
Well, first of all, he'll be remembered for moving Chicago from a manufacturing service economy to a global economy. We became the Midwest capital of the global economy for all the states in the nearby vicinity. He had major projects like Millennium Park, Soldier Field, the finishing of Navy Pier, and the completion of McCormick Place, Cellular One Field, and so forth. So he's seen as, in the parlance of historians, as a builder mayor. That is, he got something done during his time of office, and there are very specific things that can be pointed to.
Dick, what would you say is the biggest impact of how politics has changed under Daley, the old-style patronage we see versus, say, the new style?
Well, there were two major innovations in machine politics under Richard M. Daley. First of all, he took patronage away from the ward committeemen and gave it to his own organizations, like the Hispanic Democratic Organization. There was essentially one for each racial group in the city of Chicago. And they were true Daley loyalists. They didn't work for all candidates. They worked for whoever the mayor suggested. And secondly, he brought in the global economy. More than a third of his campaign contributions come from people like global lawyers, stockbrokers, traders on the exchange, people in finance and banks, so that's he raised about $7 million a year, and then he ran a presidential-style campaign. Remember that Axelrod and Emanuel and all of those who worked for people like Clinton and Obama first work for Richard M. Daley in his 1989 election.
Dick, you've talked about some of the successes that Mayor Daley can point to, Millennium Park, McCormick Place. What about some of the failures, the casino that he tried to get in Chicago, some of the other, the Olympics that he tried to bring to Chicago? How are people going to remember that, if at all?
They will. There are a number of those, and there's still a number of social problems that he tried to tackle that are unresolved. One of the most obvious and glaring is the destruction of CHA housing without its replacement, so that we have a shortage of affordable housing, and we still have a segregated city. The segregation index is 86, which means 86% of the people would have to move in order to be in the same mixture as the metropolitan region or the city of Chicago racially.
Well, I want to follow up on one element that you talked about in terms of Mayor Daley's own style in office and his own political power base. You've referred to this as pinstripe patronage. And thinking ahead now to the race to succeed this mayor in the upcoming municipal election in 2011, what's it going to take for a candidate to successfully mount a campaign to win that office?
Well, it takes two things. It takes foot soldiers of some sort, either through machine patronage workers or volunteers. And there are 3,000 precincts to work, so that's you need maybe not all 9,000 workers, but you need something in that vicinity, not one or two friends. And you need, the Mayor Daley used to raise $7 million. You'd at least need $3 or $4 million to run in this primary successfully.
And are there any particular candidates whose names have been bandied about that you think present an interesting way of getting to that figure?
Bob Furietti is closest in terms of the announced or nearly announced candidates that we know of in terms of money, and has made connections with other aldermen and ward committeemen throughout the city. I would say he's farthest along. Rahm Emanuel has the potential of being able to raise funds and workers. After that, it gets pretty scattershot. Each candidate has their own base. Some of the candidates who want to run for mayor have as little as $15,000 or $20,000 in their coffers. That's going to make a hard uphill battle.
And, Dick, what do you think will be some of the challenges that will face whoever does win and whoever does replace Mayor Daley?
Well, there's some immediate ones. The most glaring right this minute is, of course, crime and the murders that are occurring in Chicago, the gang wars, so that's sort of the hot-button issue. But we really have to figure our way through this recession. We have to come out of the recession with an economic base that is going to allow Chicago to flourish as a global economy, but not make it just for the very wealthy top of the global businesses. It's got to also somehow filter down and create a middle class in Chicago.
Dick Simpson, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Dick Simpson, a political science professor at the University of Illinois at Chicago. You're listening to WBEZ. Right now, let's go to WBBM's former City Hall reporter, Bob Crawford, who joins us now. Bob, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Bob, you covered both Richard J. Daley and Richard M. Daley. Give us a little perspective of how big this announcement is today.
Well, I think for sure that the mayor's decision to not run again creates the same kind of political vacuum that occurred when his father, Richard J. Daley, passed away. I think you're going to see a situation in which all kinds of hopeful successors, the Democratic Party leadership or what's left of the organization, politicians with powerful political bases in the city in their own right, such as Mike Madigan and Ed Burke, Tom Hines, key figures in both the black and Hispanic communities, will all be jockeying for a position now in power in the immediate future, either to become candidates who can gain an edge or who can be kingmakers.
And so, Bob, given the history in Chicago, we know that, you know, several years thereafter Richard J. Daley passed away, we got ourselves into a very fractured situation in Chicago and the council wars, of course, most notably. What a likelihood that we may find ourselves in a similar situation this time around?
Well, I think it's quite possible that we may be in that same kind of situation. And one big reason for it will be that whoever becomes the next mayor is not going to have the stature of a Daley. When your name is not Daley in Chicago, somehow you have to earn the job. It isn't yours by divine right anymore, as the Daleys seem to think it was. And so I think we may go through a situation where we could really have a whole succession of one-term mayors, especially when you consider that the economy is going to be struggling, that it won't be coming back very quickly, that unemployment is going to remain high. That means that city finances are going to remain in trouble, that the mayor won't have the revenue to spread around to gain political loyalty the way Mayor Daley did when he first came in 1989 and when we were in those boom years with, that he could take advantage of. So I think we've got a situation in the foreseeable future that suggests to me that we may have a whole succession of one-termers in the mayor's office until things start to settle down a bit and until some mayor can take advantage of a revived economy and gain leadership strength from that.
Bob, we were talking with Dick Simpson a moment ago. He mentioned how politics has changed under Daley. A lot of things changed, but one of the things that you saw right there at the city council, we saw some budgets that before were very controversial and where there was a lot of dissent on the city council. Suddenly we're seeing votes of 49-0, 48-2. How did Mayor Daley change the way things worked in government in City Hall?
Well, first of all, let me make the point that, and some may quarrel with this, but because I hear younger reporters who don't remember the history in Chicago talking about this Mayor Daley being the strongest mayor we ever had. I do not believe that this Mayor Daley was as strong as his father to begin with. First of all, his father was head of both the Democratic organization as well as being mayor of Chicago, and the organization in those days was very, very strong. This Mayor Daley ruled by coalition. That's the reason why he created the Hispanic Democratic Organization. And when you rule by coalition politics rather than the power of a political machine, you don't have quite the leverage and quite the power that someone with the machine did. And so I always thought that this Mayor Daley could be vulnerable to challenge if the time ever came where the economy got so bad that he wouldn't be able to spread around all the goodies anymore, and that if his somehow his executive leadership didn't measure up to bad times, he could get in trouble. There's an old saying that the time when you tell how good an executive or political leader is when times are bad, not when times are good. Well, now that times are bad, we've seen some cracks in Mayor Daley's executive leadership. That parking meter contract, for example, which so angered the voters. And I think the mayor's job approval rating accordingly went down in the polls. And I think that got him thinking quite a bit about the fact that, well, maybe I better leave this job while I can on my own terms rather than suffer the embarrassment of possible political defeat at the polls. And let me make one other observation, too. I think finally, at long last, voters in Chicago may be tiring, too, of all the political corruption that accompanied Mayor Daley into office. It's been ongoing ever since he came in 1989. For a long time, voters took the position that so long as the city services got delivered, corruption didn't matter. But now I think with corruption at the state level being what it is, and putting that together with what's going on in Chicago, all of a sudden I think voters at every level are waking up. And I think that was weakening Mayor Daley's position as well.
Bob, let me follow up. Are you suggesting that had Mayor Daley decided to run for re-election, that it wasn't a sure thing that he would win a seventh term?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm absolutely saying that. I think there were cracks occurring in Mayor Daley's political power, as evidenced by those polls that showed his job approval rating kind of in free fall. And when you see that happening, you have to say that at least the potential was there for him to face a strong enough challenge where he possibly could have lost.
Well, and that seems to be the key thing. As many folks have looked around over the years, they haven't been able to, you know, put their fingers on who that strong potential challenge would come from or in the form of.
Yeah, well, see, my point is, though, that as time went on and as the economy didn't recover and as the city's budget situation got worse, as I think it's going to be in the immediate future, and as Mayor Daley had to make more unpopular decisions, I think his popularity would decline just like President Obama's popularity has been declining. You know, Hubert Humphrey once said that when the economy is wrong, nothing else is right. And that applies to Mayor Daley as well, too. And so I think that sets the stage for the possibility that a strong challenger might have come forward who might have been able to get the funding to challenge the mayor simply because, at long last, he did look vulnerable.
Now, Bob, I know you have to go, but very briefly, what will the candidates that are running for office need to do coming up now that the election's all in a different landscape?
Well, I think they're going to have to be very honest for the people of Chicago and let them know just what the realities are. No more playing games, no more, budget sleight of hand. I think they're going to have to, the person who runs for mayor now is going to have to be somebody who's willing to make the tough decisions, just like the next governor is going to have to be able to make the tough decisions. I think a lot of people have been sitting out running for political office because they don't want to have to face that kind of a challenge. But somebody's going to have to do the job. And so there's going to be very, very tough times ahead for the next mayor, and I don't think anybody has a clear agenda yet as to which way they ought to go.
All right. Thanks very much, Bob Crawford.
Thank you.
Great to talk with you. Former WBBM City Hall reporter Bob Crawford. You're listening to WBEZ and WBEZ.org. Good afternoon. I'm Melba Lara. You're listening to live coverage of an announcement today by Chicago Mayor Richard Daley that he will not be running for re-election in 2011, saying it's time for Chicago to move on. It's time for him to move on. And it's a decision that he feels is he's very comfortable with. Right now, WBEZ Steve Edwards is here with me, and we're also wanting to hear from you. What's your reaction to Mayor Daley's announcement today? Do you think Chicago is better or worse since the mayor's been in office? And what are your hopes for the next mayor of Chicago and the future of the city? 312-832-3124 is the number to call. 312-832-3124. And Steve, you heard some of Bob's comments about a lot of one-term mayors possibly.
Well, and it's fascinating to think about. And I think one of the things that for better or worse, Chicagoans have gotten used to is a relative degree of stability and city hall politics because of the kind of power that Mayor Daley amassed. And certainly if we see a power vacuum emerge with no strong coalition coming out of this particular time in municipal history, there's no question. I think there are a lot of factions and a lot of individuals who think they have a legitimate claim on the mayor's office and will want now, because they think they have their chance, to claim that. And that could present all sorts of challenges and interesting dynamics going forward.
And we're going to delve a little deeper into that and some of the challenges facing both the city and the politicians that want to lead it coming up soon. We're going to hear now from Jan Fellows in Chicago. Thanks for joining us, Jan.
I'm very, very sad to know that he's not going to run again. And I wouldn't know who to vote for. He's always been a name in my family, and Daley is the person that we always loved. And I think this is certainly a better city because of Mayor Daley. And I just thank him so much for doing what he has done.
And Jan, what are your hopes for the next person that wants to be mayor of Chicago?
Oh, I just hope they can live up to what Mayor Daley has accomplished, all his wonderful things, Millennium Park, Navy Pier, just countless things that he's done, and the beautiful flowers everywhere. I don't even mind paying tickets because I think, well, the money is going to the flowers.
All right, Jan, thanks very much. We appreciate talking with you. You're listening to WBEZ Chicago.
Good afternoon. I'm Tony Sarabia. Thanks for tuning in to special coverage here on 91.5 FM, WBEZ. Still more to come, so stick around, won't you? Support for this program comes from WBEZ members, other member stations, also Massage Envy, more at massageenvy.com, the William T. Grant Foundation, online at wtgrantfoundation.org, and the University of Michigan Health System, committed to treating aortic disease at uofmcvc.org/aorta. Time for traffic. Here's Sarah Jindra.
Hi there, I'm Gian Gomeshi. Today, our new season of Q begins, and we start with a feature conversation with tennis legend Andre Agassi on his frank and riveting memoir, Open, which is newly released in paperback. Andre Agassi on Q from PRI Public Radio International. Coming up.
That comes your way tonight at 8 o'clock on WBEZ. Check out our blogs for videos, commentaries, and behind-the-scenes updates from our city room. Just go to blogs.vocalo.org. Be informed. WBEZ.
And just a reminder, we do have the wind advisory until 7 this evening, going down to 56 overnight with mostly clear skies. Tomorrow and Thursday, pretty nice. Lots of sunshine with a high of about 70 degrees. 77 right now.
You can smell food. You can taste food. But can you hear food? Of course you can. Chefs use sound all the time to cook, manage their kitchens, and craft the dining experience. I'm David Hammond, inviting you to listen to Season 2 of Soundbites, an audio tour of what you'll hear in some of Chicago's most delicious places. Soundbites, Wednesdays on 848, WBEZ.
77 degrees, time for news. This is 91.5 FM.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Ann Taylor. The mayor of Chicago, Democrat Richard Daley, says he will not run for another term in office after 21 years in the job.
The truth is that I've been thinking about this for the last several months. In the last several weeks, I've been increasingly comfortable with my decision. It just feels right.
There has been speculation that White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel might run for mayor at some point. He had this to say on the Charlie Rose Show on PBS in April.
If Mayor Daley doesn't one day, I would like to run for mayor of the city of Chicago.
Emanuel is a former Illinois congressman and one-time Daley advisor. White House officials are not optimistic that Congress will act on President Obama's new economic proposals in the next few months. As NPR's Ari Shapiro reports, the Obama administration is framing these ideas as long-term proposals.
In Milwaukee and Cleveland this week, President Obama is offering suggestions to boost the economy. But White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says with the election season underway, Congress may not act on any of these programs before November.
The president is focused on the economic situation that we all find ourselves in. It may or may not overlap well with a political calendar. But the president isn't here to solve the nation's problems on a political calendar. He's here to solve the nation's problems as they exist.
Politics is playing a role in this week's economic events, though. The speeches are in swing states. And Gibbs said Cleveland was chosen for Wednesday's event because that's where House Minority Leader John Boehner recently gave a speech attacking the president's economic policies. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, the White House.
Wall Street closed down today amid some profit-taking after last week's advances. Blue chips lost 107 points to close at 10,340. The Nasdaq was down 24 at 2,208. This is NPR News.
Good afternoon. You're listening to live coverage here on WBEZ, a special edition of All Things Considered. I'm Alba Lara.
And I'm Steve Edwards.
Chicago Mayor Richard Daley announcing today that he is not going to seek re-election in 2011. What's your reaction? What did you start thinking about the city of Chicago and its future when you heard? We'd love to hear from you at 312-832-3124. We're going to continue with our political analysis and hear about some of the potential candidates for mayor. Congressman Danny Davis is going to be joining us momentarily here on WBEZ. And in a moment, Steve, you and I are going to be talking about, too, about the legacy of Mayor Daley and some of the things that he's going to leave for Chicago.
Absolutely, and a little bit about his management style. And it's interesting, certainly the phone lines are lighting up. We're also getting a slew of commenters on our Facebook page, our WBEZ Facebook page, people with their suggestions of possible candidates who might succeed Mayor Daley. And that list is already developing. And we should point out that one of the folks who's been mentioned in recent months as a possible successor or possible candidate is, of course, White House Chief of Staff and former Illinois Congressman Rahm Emanuel. His office issued a statement this afternoon. I have it in front of me. He says, quote, "While Mayor Daley surprised me today with his decision to not run for re-election, I have never been surprised by his leadership, dedication, and tireless work on behalf of the city and the people of Chicago." That again from Rahm Emanuel on Mayor Daley's decision not to seek a seventh term in office. And we should point out that earlier this year, he made news, as you know, of course, Melba, by saying on Charlie Rose that he's always been interested in the mayor's job.
Now, am I hearing a little wiggle room in that statement? I'm not hearing a flat-out denial.
Yeah, there's
there.
A lakefront worth of wiggle room there on that, I believe.
You're listening to WBEZ. Let's talk now with Lee Bay, the executive director of the Chicago Central Area Committee. Lee, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your reaction when you heard the announcement and what you think will be the legacy for Mayor Daley.
Well, I think I owe at least people steak dinners because I just had a conversation over the past few weeks with people who, like me, work for the mayor and or watch City Hall, and I thought that he would certainly run for re-election, and I'm surprised that he hasn't. I listened to Bob Crawford's summation earlier before coming on, and you know Bob makes some great points, and I could also imagine that, and the mayor sort of hinted at it, I guess, in his statement that you know there are probably other personal issues that might be pressing at him as well that might be leading him to this point.
Lee, we heard both Bob Crawford and Alan Simpson talking earlier about the Hispanic community and the African American community. We haven't talked that much about that. Do you see some candidates emerging from those communities that have a shot?
You know, I would imagine so. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to name any of them, but I would imagine so. I mean,
why
you know,
not, really? Just come on.
No, well, yes, I should, right? But
yes.
You know, I really shouldn't. But just generally speaking, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Hispanics played a huge role in Daley's you know, rise to power politically. Are the new majority or soon to be in the city, and certainly would want their seat at the table that one table. On the fifth floor, and I could certainly see that. African Americans obviously have been in the city for a century, and also want a seat at that table again, as was the case with Harold Washington in the 80s, and then Gene Sawyer in the wake of Washington's death. I think you know where Chicago. You know, what's going to test the mettle of Chicago on many fronts is how this is negotiated and who becomes the next mayor and what coalitions are built that are healthy that allow the next mayor to, no matter what color or race he is or ethnicity he is, to actually be able to govern the city. I mean, that's really the thing. I mean, if we resort to our baser instincts and people are just grabbing at the table, what has, you know, this great city, you know, certainly could be in peril if people can appeal to their own higher instincts and think of what's best and who's best for the city, it really could become a shining moment for Chicago.
Lee, let me pick up on that point, that notion of governing a large and multiracial ethnic city like Chicago. You spent time as deputy chief of staff inside the mayor's inner circle watching him, how he led this city for a number of years. What's it take when you get right down to it? What are the qualities that he possessed that allowed him to do this so successfully for so long?
You know, the things that I saw was he was able better than I think people thought he would be at finding out what's common among people. I mean, if you strip away race, ethnicity, gender, and other things, you know, we pay taxes and we want city services. And that goes across, you know, that goes across the board. And being able to appeal to that and understand that is the thing. I mean, one of the things, I mean, and I guess, you know, this kind of goes back to Richard J. Daley's tenure in office. One of the things that always intrigued me was when he first gets in, Richard J. Daley first gets in, he's essentially sort of, the story goes, he's kind of asking, well, what do I do? And I think it was either Abraham Lincoln Meravitz or someone of that stature tells him to put the people's money on the street where they can see it. And what that meant was build stuff. So there's street lights, there's new sidewalks, there's paved streets. And these are the kind of things that Richard M. Daley, the current mayor, was able to do. And when that happens, you see median planters up and down the boulevards. You see these kind of things happening. It does kind of go a long way to create a coalition, not necessarily of race and ethnicity, but of taxpayers who want services for their tax dollar. And I think that's what this next mayor is going to have to do, and then do in spades. I mean, really do, under an economy that's going to be tougher for him to do it, or her to do it.
And Lee, you've also, obviously, in your other lives, been very active as a journalist, writing about architecture. You do that now currently for blogs.vocalo.org. So given both perspectives, how do you rate this mayor on the physical landscape of the city, aesthetically and otherwise?
You know, it's improved tremendously under this mayor. I mean, the first mayor, Daley, to go back one more time to Richard J. Daley, is nicknamed Daley the Builder. I mean, because through him, we've got some things we didn't want, like public housing, but we also got a second downtown, if you will, a second life for downtown with modern skyscrapers. We've got expressways. We've got these large public works projects, all those things happening under the first Mayor Daley. The second Mayor Daley comes along, he's more like Daley the Beautifier. He takes this rough city and begins to fine-tune it a bit so that we get parks like Millennium Park, we get median planters, we get a city that through building code now is moving toward being a more greener city in terms of our environmentally conscious and sustainable buildings. We get other things like the Chicago Bungalow Initiative, which doesn't really get talked about much these days, but this was an effort to save what's essentially, I think, a full third of the city's housing stock, which is the sturdy Chicago bungalow, and which is a beautiful, actually, piece of architecture that we all can afford, mm-hmm. Most of us at least. And these are the kind of things I think that he leaves behind. I mean, he did not, with the exception of Soldier Field, which is still controversial to this day, at Millennium Park, he didn't get a chance to pull off the huge, huge project. I mean, there isn't necessarily a new expressway. But he did oversee a transformation of downtown using tax benefits and TIF to give downtown this third act as a 24-hour residential downtown and as well as a work downtown. You know, so these are the kind of things he's going to leave behind. Mm-hmm. You know, we forget about the things, the early failures, and even I forgot about these as well. Like, for instance, the third airport that was going to be based in Lake Calumet was one thing that the mayor pushed for, and it was unsuccessful. Now we get an expanded O'Hare instead. And then ask you for another $1 billion in bonds for it. Where that's going to go, that's going to be for the next mayor to obviously look at now. But what he's able to do, again, is just sort of retrench, take a step back, and do these fine, finer grain fixes to the city to make it more livable. Now, lastly, you know, this does not mean that the entire city has gotten all this at the same speed. I mean, if you drive around the south and west sides, you can see places, obviously, where these remedies haven't made it there yet.
And that's been a continuing criticism of him that's been very uneven in terms of the development in the city.
Exactly. But what you do, and that's true, but what you do have that you didn't have, I grew up in the city as many of your listeners did, and what you don't have necessarily is the way it was in times of old, where some areas of the city got no streets, old WPA sidewalks that were falling into the earth, and no sense that City Hall knew these places existed. Now there's more of that, and I think also, I mean, you know, Harold Washington, Mayor Harold Washington, you know, from the grave, if you will, you know, deserves a tip of the hat for some of this as well, because what his administration showed was that there has to be fairness and equity in distributing these public works projects, and Daley, the current Daley, was wise enough to understand that and not fight against it, and actually begin to do that. Much of that himself as well.
All right, Lee, thank you. We really appreciate talking with you this afternoon.
Sure, anytime.
There's a lot more we could touch on the greenness of Chicago and the global economy. Great to talk with you this afternoon. Lee Bay, Executive Director of the Chicago Central Area Committee on WBEZ and WBEZ.org. Thanks for joining us for this special edition of All Things Considered here on WBEZ. Let's go now to WBEZ's Tony Arnold, who is at City Hall and has been gauging some of the reaction to Mayor Daley's announcement today. Tony, how are you?
All right, Melba, thanks for asking. I'll tell you what, down here at City Hall, it's almost like the tale of two City Halls right now. It's on the one hand, you know, walking around in the main lobby, it's almost like business as usual. There's just plenty of people. It's kind of the normal hustle and bustle of a Tuesday afternoon. Not too many people, but it's not, you know, not empty by any stretch of the imagination. But on the other hand, I've seen many little clusters of City Hall workers gathering, and it kind of almost seems like a funeral. They look kind of somber and kind of nodding their heads in acknowledgement, that kind of thing, like you would almost see at a funeral. So it's a little weird atmosphere down here at City Hall right now.
And when you talk to folks, what are they saying about this decision, Tony, this announcement today that the mayor is not going to run for re-election?
Yeah, the majority of people did not see this coming. Shocked has been the word that I've heard from multiple people. There's still a couple of aldermen who have made their way out of City Hall from earlier today, and I was talking with one of them, Danny Solis, who's a powerful alderman and fills in for the mayor running the city council when the mayor takes off and does something else during city council proceedings. And he said that, you know, all he can't picture, he can't imagine what city hall is going to be like without the mayor. But at the same time, he said he's going to start looking and, you know, kind of gathering resumes of his own and trying to figure out who he would support and who'd even be running. Not many people are willing to say that they're interested in the position right now, but you know, there's still definitely interest out there.
Well, I wanted
on the other hand, you know, there's that there are four entrances to City Hall, one on each side of the building, and there are a lot of cameramen gathered on one end of the building, which the mayor has been known to use. I think that a lot of people are hoping to get him as he leaves this afternoon.
Well, very quickly, just to pick up on that, it's often said that every member of Congress wants to be a senator someday. Every senator thinks he or she can be president someday. What do they say about Chicago aldermen as it relates to the mayor these days?
Well, it's interesting because City Hall is not going to be the same, and not just for the mayor, but the city council will not be the same next year, around this time next year. Has the mayor not announcing that he's going to run for re-election? There have been several aldermen, about half a dozen so far, who have, out of the 50, who have said that they will not take re-election. A lot of those aldermen were Daley allies, known to be Daley allies. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how this works out and how this, you know, how the flavor of City Hall changes as different people get elected and take over this place.
Thanks very much for the update, Tony.
Thanks,
Melba. WBEZ's Tony Arnold live at City Hall this afternoon. Let's check in now with Chicago Democratic Congressman Danny Davis on Chicago Mayor Richard Daley's announcement today that he's not running for re-election. Congressman Davis, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about your reaction when you heard the announcement, and what's your sense about what this will mean for the African-American community and even Chicago's place now in Washington politics?
Well, I think the mayor's announcement caught a lot of people off guard. There had been speculation and people were taking bets as to whether or not he would run. And I think more people thought that he would run than thought that he would not run. But now that he has decided, I think it changes the landscape of Chicago politics, certainly Cook County politics, and I think to a real degree politics in the state of Illinois. It really means that things are far more open. We are going to see, I think we already knew that there were going to be a couple hundred candidates running for alderman. There might be 400 or 500 running now. and there's going to be tremendous speculation about who the candidates will be for mayor. Although people don't have a lot of time to do that because, you know, people are already circulating, nominating petitions. So it changes things. It kind of heats things up, and we'll see what happens, I guess, in the next couple of weeks.
Well, Congressman Davis, we don't have a quote-unquote handpicked successor for the mayor, and certainly a lot of names have been floated around. Are you hearing anything specifically in the African-American community of what their hopes are for the next mayor?
Well, I know that there are a number of individuals in the African-American community who are being considered by different groups, by perhaps different factions. And I would suspect now that the mayor has announced he's not running, that's going to escalate the process. So there are a number of people who are interested, number of people being considered, but I couldn't say who might end up being some kind of consensus candidate. There are people who would be willing to run as a consensus candidate, but are not going to run in a field with five or six other candidates running.
Well, very quickly, Congressman Davis, you obviously know the council. You served as an alderman. You've expressed interest at different times about possibly running for Cook County Board President. Will you be a candidate for mayor in the city of Chicago?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like other elected officials, there are people asking me if I would run. As a matter of fact, there had been people asking me if I would run before the mayor made his announcement, and I indicated that I really would not be interested in running if the mayor was running for re-election. Now that the mayor is not running for re-election, I really don't know. I have not had a great deal of time to consider it, but I will listen to the voices of the people and will make some decision and determination at some point.
Congressman Davis, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Great talking with you. You're listening to WBEZ and WBEZ.org. Do you think Chicago is better or worse since Chicago Mayor Richard Daley has been in office? What are your hopes for the next mayor of Chicago? Our number to call is 312-832-3124. That's 312-832-3124. 3124. Let's check in with Douglas from Chicago. Douglas, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your reaction when you heard the announcement today, and what are your hopes for the next mayor of Chicago?
I was very surprised, since the mayor, was pretty coy about whether he was going to run or not. But certainly it was better off with the mayor at the helm. But, toward the end, I think you started to see a lot of kinks in the armor with the parking meter situation and then the over-reliance of TIF districts, which were a tax increase to a lot of residents because of the taxing bodies having to raise their levies. So for the next mayor, I think that it has to be somebody who's willing to break up the patronage system, hopefully an independent progressive Democrat, and really just get back to decentralizing power at City Hall.
All right, Douglas, thanks very much. Achilles from Chicago, some disappointment perhaps in some of the mayor's legacy. What was your reaction today, and what are your thoughts?
Job until the actual end. I think the past year or two, he actually took his eye off the ball in terms of coalition building, and as well with this whole idea of making Chicago into a Silicon Prairie, investment in technology, Chicago being a world business leader. I think that we've gotten away from that. I think the mayor did a great job, but I just think it was time.
And Achilles, what do you think you're looking forward most to in terms of who will run the city next in this time of huge economic challenges?
I hope that the next one just takes up some of the initiatives that the mayor did start, which was the creation of Chicago becoming a Silicon Prairie, Chicago being a global business, because Chicago needs investment right now. And I think that one of the ways to develop Chicago is really in technology and in schools. I think that the mayor started that. Unfortunately, I think fairly recently he got away from it.
All right. Thanks for your call. You're listening to WBEZ. Let's go now to Cook County Board President-elect Tony Preckwinkle. We were talking earlier.
By the way, thank you. Your mouth to God's ear. I'm not elect yet.
Oh, sorry about that. That's right. My apologies, Alderman Tony Preckwinkle. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you being here today. Tell us a little bit about your reaction today, and what are your thoughts about what's going to be the long-term legacy for Chicago?
Well, first of all, I think, like most Chicagoans, I was astonished. I was expecting that the mayor would run for re-election, and actually I'd talked to some of his folks and thought he was putting together his re-election campaign. So I was really surprised. I think that the people of Chicago owe the mayor our appreciation and thanks for his good work as in the state legislature, as Cook County State's Attorney, and for the last 20 plus years as mayor. If you think about his initiatives, I think his efforts to beautify the city begins by focusing on greening the city and planting trees and beautifying our medians, and moves to spend a lot of his political capital on trying to improve our public schools and transform public housing. And I see that kind of as the core of his legacy. He's clearly a person who loves the city very much and who's worked very hard to make it a better place.
Alderman Preckwinkle, we should point out, of course, you're the Democratic nominee for Cook County Board President. Roger Keats, a Republican nominee. Tom Trescher, the Green Party nominee. As you think about the possibility of becoming Cook County Board President this fall, and you think about a new mayor on the fifth floor of City Hall sharing the same building, how does that change, if at all, the way in which you approach Cook County politics, Cook County governance, Cook County budgeting?
Well, I'd look forward to working with Mayor Daley, and I look forward to working with his successor. I think there has to be a close working relationship with the leadership, both of the city and the county. That's in everybody's interest, and it's surely the direction in which I was headed.
Well, and very quickly, we've heard a lot of names of folks who may or may not have an interest in running for mayor. Who do you like? Who do you think should be considered as a top-tier candidate at this point?
Well, I think this is really tough for folks. When I decided to run for Cook County Board President, the election was February 2010, and I made my decision in December of 2008 and felt that was a little late. Particularly if you're somebody like me with not a lot of of name recognition, you need a lot of time to promote yourself and to raise money. And basically, this is going to be a sprint. You know, petitions have to be in less than 90 days, and you've got, you know, basically 6 months to raise money in a tough economic environment and also a tough political environment, and that you've got lots of competition with all the folks who are on the ballot in November. So this favors people who have high name recognition and huge political coffers.
Toni Preckwinkle is a Chicago alderman. She's also the Democratic nominee for Cook County Board President. Alderman Preckwinkle, thanks so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Let's talk now with Cook County Board President Todd Stroger, who joins us on the line. Todd Stroger, your reaction today when you heard the announcement, and what do you anticipate will be some of the biggest challenges for whoever gets into the mayor's office and working with Cook County and working with the state?
Well, my reaction is the mayor has had a long run. He's done some great things for the city, and I think that there comes a time when you should smell the roses while you're still alive. So I think he's probably made a wise decision. And I think in the incoming race, just was listening to Alderman Preckwinkle, I think she makes some great points. Name recognition is very important in a race such as this. And the biggest thing is raising money. I wouldn't be surprised if someone who already has money jumps in the race and decides that they're going to be the candidate, just as Mayor Bloomberg did in New York.
Todd, do you think a big pot of cash versus high name recognition is what's going to do it for this next candidate?
You know, the way the economy is, and that's the economy of the whole world is down, people get depressed and they kind of drop out of the races. And they don't even pay attention to what happens. And I think that someone with a lot of money who can put out a message that says, I'm not them, could probably do very well.
President Stroger, what kind of actual work on the ground does a candidate need to do at this point if he or she wants to run for mayor of Chicago in terms of meeting community leaders, getting the support of ministers, getting the support of elected officials and those kinds of things? What's your advice in that regard?
Well, if someone is going to run, they ought to have a base already. There ought to be a group of people that they know believe in them and that will spread out in the city and talk to people and have people that they can talk to already who will listen to them. And then the second thing they're going to do is they're going to get on that phone and they're going to call all the rich people they know. Say, I'm running for mayor. I need your support. Can you give me $25? And that will separate the wannabes to the candies.
Now, we should point out that you are no longer, obviously, a candidate to be Cook County Board President. You lost the primary to Toni Preckwinkle. You know City Hall. You have name recognition. Is this a job that you would consider running for?
You know, people always say it, never say never. But I am pretty tired right now, and my wife is tired. So I really couldn't see myself stepping into something like that. You know, when you're running in the wheel, and you think you're doing the right thing, you have all the energy in the world, but once you step outside the wheel and you look, you say, wow, there's a rest of the world here. Maybe you ought to see what it's like.
Well, one final question for you. I want to look back for just a moment because your father's relationship, John Stroger, with the Daley family and indeed Mayor Richard M. Daley, the current mayor, goes back years. Your father was a big and important supporter of Mayor Richard M. Daley during his runs for mayor. Your families have strong political relationships over the years. What is this for you personally to witness this passage at this point, the fact that Mayor Daley will not seek re-election for a seventh term?
Well, I guess you could say since 1955, there's been some kind of Daley or Stroger in some kind of high office, be it finance chairman or mayor or county board president. And I think it shows that there is a change in how people look at government and how government workers look at themselves. It was a lot different 20 years ago when you could tell a guy, yes, I can help you in the system and no one's going to screw you over and I can recommend you for a raise or some kind of promotion. Now if you do that, they want to send you to jail. So trying to get the word out to the normal citizen is tougher. And people who've done this business for a long time find that it's just not as rewarding as it used to be when it was more we're all in this together. And now you might find yourself running, and it's just you by yourself.
Cook County Board President Todd Stroger, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. You're listening to WBEZ Chicago, 91.5 FM, WBEQ Morris, 90.7 FM, and WBEZ.org. We'll continue live coverage on this special edition here on WBEZ. It's 4 o'clock.
Today, I'm announcing that we'll not seek a seventh term as mayor of the city of Chicago. Simply put, it's time. It's time for me. It's time for Chicago to move on.
Good afternoon. You're listening to a special edition of All Things Considered live here on WBEZ. I'm Melba Lara.
And I'm Steve Edwards.
Chicago Mayor Richard Daley today is making his stunning announcement that he will not be seeking re-election. We'll continue with live local reaction from political analysts, talk to some potential candidates for mayor, and hear from you about what you'd like to see next for the office. 312-832-3124 is our number to call. You're listening to special coverage here on WBEZ.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley is making it official today. After more than 20 years in office, the venerable Chicago mayor announcing he is not running for re-election. The 68-year-old Daley says it's time to move on with his life. NPR's David Shaper says the announcement Daley won't seek a seventh term comes as something of a surprise.
He has firm control over the city, and it's a really surprising decision in a lot of ways, because not just because he's been mayor for so long, but he felt, and I think he has felt, that there's still a lot of work to be done in the office. However, he also has said before that he did not want to stay mayor for life. I think the undercurrent of what he was saying at the time is that he didn't want to die in office. He didn't want the job to kill him, as he may think it may have killed his father.
NPR's David Shaper. The decision by Daley not to run comes at a time the mayor's wife is battling cancer. The announcement would open the door for, among others, White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, who's indicated his interest in the mayor's job. Religious leaders are calling on the pastor of a Florida church to drop his plans to burn the Quran to mark the ninth anniversary of the September 11th terror attacks. The threat by the minister of a Gainesville church has angered not only those in the Muslim community, but also the White House. Reverend Richard Sisick heads the group Evangelical Partnership for the Common Good. He says such actions disregard the religious freedoms of others.
They are openly rejecting the First Amendment principles of religious liberty, which we as evangelical Christians benefit daily. To those who would exercise derision, bigotry, I say shame on you.
Pastor Terry Jones, head of the Florida church that plans the Quran burning, has said he wants to send a message to Islamist extremists. A gunman wearing an Iraqi army uniform opened fire today, killing two U.S. soldiers in northern Iraq. The Americans reported to be part of a group of soldiers meeting with Iraqi security forces in an Iraqi army compound 130 miles north of Baghdad. Job placement company Manpower says many U.S. employers plan to expand hiring in the coming months, but not as much as in the previous quarter. We get details from NPR's Paul Brown.
Manpower says more than two-thirds of the U.S. employers it surveyed say they have no plans to change hiring in either direction in the months ahead. Manpower Vice President Melanie Holmes says businesses do expect to hire more people than at the same time last year, but she says even if hiring is headed in the right direction, no one should expect a quick recovery.
While we do see greater stability for all of 2010, it's going to be a long time before employment comes back to the levels that it was pre-recession.
Manpower also says the employment outlook is best in China, Taiwan, and India. And it says businesses in all but three countries it surveyed think they will hire more people in the next quarter than a year ago. Paul Brown, NPR News.
Wall Street gave up some of its gains from last week amid concerns about European banks. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 107 points. This is NPR.
It's 75 degrees at 4:04. Good afternoon. I'm Tony Sarabia with WBEZ News. Political experts continue to weigh in on Mayor Daley's announcement today that he won't run for re-election, with some saying the decision isn't a surprise. Loyola University of Chicago political science professor Alan Gittleson says Daley's wife's illness likely is a big factor in the decision. Maggie Daley has been fighting breast cancer since 2002. At the same time, Gittleson says the mayor's decision is a surprise because there's been a Daley in the political system for so long. The mayor today said he had given a lot of thought about his decision not to run for an eighth term.
In the coming days, I know there will be some reflecting on my time as mayor. Many of you will search to find what's behind my decision. It's simple. I've always believed that every person, especially public officials, must understand when it's time to move on. For me, that time is now.
Meanwhile, Illinois Governor Pat Quinn says he was shocked to hear Mayor Daley's announcement.
I relied on Mayor Daley's advice all the time. He was very generous with his advice and counsel. You know, I was over at his office probably, I don't know, half dozen or more times in the past year, and each time I learned something. So he's a great man.
Quinn and Daley have worked on several issues together, including environmental protection of Lake Michigan. The head of the Illinois Republican Party is congratulating Chicago's mayor on his long career. State GOP Chairman Pat Brady says he's leaving the city looking, as Brady says, pretty good.
He's been mayor a long time. You know, the city obviously cares a great deal about, as does his family. So, you know, let him have his day, and I wish him well in the future. And let's, you know, try to look on the good things and then figure out who's going to be our next mayor.
Brady says he expects Daley's departure will suck fundraising away from Democrats running for statewide office, as candidates will be pouring into the February 2011 mayoral race. A judge says he'll issue an opinion in due course on a proposed plan to settle a federal class action lawsuit concerning how the state of Illinois treats the mentally ill. Weather for tonight, mostly clear, going down to 55 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 70. Same for Thursday in sports. The Cubs host Houston tonight at Wrigley. The White Sox play the Tigers in Detroit this evening. It's 75 degrees. I'm Tony Sarabia. This is WBEZ.
Good afternoon and welcome back to a special edition of All Things Considered here on WBEZ. With his wife smiling broadly at his side today, Chicago Mayor Richard Daley announcing he will not be running for re-election in 2011, causing a big shakeup in the political landscape of Chicago. I'm Melba Lara here with WBEZ's Steve Edwards and NPR's David Shaper. We're going to continue talking this hour and hearing from you to get reaction on the mayor's announcement today. Joining us on the line, the Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Well, how are you? I'm in a state of shock.
And, you know, you've been critical at times and supportive at times of Mayor Richard Daley. Tell us a little bit more about your reaction when you heard the announcement.
Well, I think the impact of his wife's illness and the loss of Michael Scott, his friend, suicide, police, security guard, bodyguard killed not very long ago, away in on, I think, the impact of our cities, plants leaving, jobs leaving, jobs and coming, mounting, almost insurmountable violence. And the cities are close to insolvency. And so the cities used to be a great place to be mayor of, distributing jobs and goods and service and contracts. Now you're distributing cuts for transportation, public education, public housing, public health. Some of those, I think, if one off of job.
Reverend Jackson, we appreciate your weighing in with your opinion this afternoon. We're having some problems with your cell phone. We'll hope to reconnect with you in a moment. We're going to check in with NPR's David Shaper. David, you've covered the mayor for many, many years. Certainly, yeah. You've seen quite an evolution of what's gone on in the city council, what's gone on in the city. Your reaction when you heard some of the news today?
Well, you know, after hearing the news and thinking back to, the, you know, the first times I was covering Mayor Daley was in the, he was running for re-election. He had already been elected in 89 and was seeking re-election in 1991 against now Congressman Danny Davis, who was on the county board at the time. And the city was still pretty fractured racially. It was still pretty fractured within the Democratic Party here in Chicago. And there was a great deal of uncertainty still at that time about whether he would be able to get the support that he ended up getting and galvanize the city in the way he has. And you know, people are critical of some of the ways he's done it, but you have to give him credit for being able to pull the city together and to really unify the Democratic Party and at least the city's agenda. I mean, there are differences at the state level within the Democratic Party and obviously fractures within certain factions of the party here and there. But to get the city council fully supportive behind him, largely by appointing almost half the city council himself. But, you know, he's really done a masterful job politically, I would think, and just pulling things together. And I never really thought I'd see him step down without having someone to take over. I never really thought that he would try to leave a vacuum there and a free-for-all for his successor. But then again, I also think that I've seen many people who have been waiting for their turn come and go. So, you know, there have been people who may have thought if they were waiting in the wings and being groomed to be the next mayor and Daley passed them over himself. And so it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the next couple of months to see who ends up throwing their hat in the ring and who doesn't get in. And it's just going to be a fascinating time for political junkies like myself.
I want to bring in Steve Edwards in a moment to talk more about what's going to go forward for the city of Chicago. But something you said made me think of the early campaigns that Mayor Richard Daley was involved in, where a lot of people didn't give him a lot of credit. They thought some of the other Daley sons would have been the ones that would have been mayor. William Daley, for example, or some of the other Daleys. And now we look back over this 20 years plus legacy, and I think some people say they're surprised on the upside that there's been so much that's been done in the city.
I think that there's a lot of people who think that the city has never looked better. And I think that there a lot of people would look objectively and say things are working in a way that they hadn't before in the 70s and in the 80s. And maybe going back to the 60s under his father. He has been definitely more inclusive than his father ever was. But there are certainly those who would say that he would not be the most eloquent of representatives for the city of Chicago, that maybe a Bill Daley would be better. The former Commerce Secretary is certainly much more polished on the political stage and in terms of public speaking and other things. But you can never doubt this mayor's passion for the city.
And his political acumen
and his skills in being able to get done what he needed and wanted to get done and being able to really align himself with people you never would have thought he'd be friends and political allies with.
And I think in some respects that's almost the best example of his political skills, that ability to, you know, in the old Machiavellian sense, to keep your friends closer and your enemies closer. This mayor reached out to lots of adversaries in lots of different ways and was able to sort of bring them into the fold to realize that they had common interests or that their own interests might be better served being on board with this particular administration than against it. And he also did it even at the level of consultants and academics and others who were studying the city, studying the schools, studying various programs. He would often bring in their expertise when they were critical as a way of certainly trying to get the best minds around the table on certain issues, but certainly at a more practical level, trying to some degree, bring your critics inside, bring them close. And that's also, I think, a large measure of how he was able to exercise power so forcefully within the city council, in addition to the appointment power you mentioned.
You know, at the same time, though, we'd be remiss not to mention that there is a lack of people willing to question his authority, to question his process, to question his priorities within his inner circle.
Yes.
I don't think that he has that many people around him, and hasn't for quite some time, people who are willing to say no, or maybe you should rethink this, or maybe this would be a better way to go about that. There's a lot of people in the city who feel like he's steamrolled them to get his agenda through. You could look at the park at what used to be Migs Field for one
Northerly
glaring
Island.
Example. Yeah. And
a couple of X's on it right now.
Not anymore.
It looks
beautiful, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way he's gone about things, the way he's steamrolled various people and various agencies and various things to get his way, that there was certainly an arrogance, I think, around him. I think there's a lot of people around him at City Hall who felt like they had a carte blanche to do things that even he might not approve of. So.
And we've had some calls this hour at 312-832-3124 here on WBEZ. Kwame, in Chicago, you're one of those who thinks that the mayor had some good intentions but didn't quite do a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I won't say he didn't quite do a good job. I mean, he presided over some wonderful beautification projects in, you know, certain parts of the city. But I think that what your speaker just, you know, touched on was the king-like way in which he ruled the city kind of excluded a lot of voices that now haven't really benefited from all of his beautification or his economic development. There's a huge swath of people in the city who kind of suffered at the hands of the taxation that he had to do in order to get these things through, the increased parking tickets, the higher property taxes, raising the property values in areas that eliminated affordable housing while at the same time destroying the CTA, the CHA. But I think that, you know, a lot of voices didn't get heard in the kingdom of Richard Daley. And, you know, the Olympics is a glaring example. I don't think he ever even thought to ask us if we wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of assumed that we did and went about this crusade, you know, which would have torn up a lot of neighborhoods and changed the landscapes and a lot of environments. And a lot of voices weren't heard on that. And I just think that, you know, maybe now that we could get someone who is more of a consensus builder and more of a person that can listen to the city and not drive people out of the city by making it not affordable.
All right, Kwame, thanks for your call. David, a lot of folks have been bringing that up, that there are a lot of voices that have not been heard mm-hmm. over the time of the Daley administration.
Well, and I could say as a reporter, as somebody who sat in news conferences and asked the questions that maybe others should have been asking, he could make some people feel quite small when you ask him the question that he did not want to be asked. You know, if you ask about corruption, he'd, well, we'll look at your business and how much corruption is in your business. Like, nobody's ever done that, you know, oh, the media is perfect, you know. And he had a way of just turning on the media at times in a quite vicious and vindictive way, I think.
Well, and a great example of that recently were his comments to Mick Dumke, now then a reporter
right.
for the Chicago
right.
Reader, against the backdrop of the handgun ruling from the Supreme
right.
Court. And no, there's very true, a very thin skin. And I think another thing that certainly often he could get very personal, very mean-spirited at times. And there was that flash of red that came out of him that, to your earlier point, David, did make people really fear him.
Although, to his credit, he's one of the few politicians that has been available to the media almost on a daily basis.
and he is available, and he, you know, it's funny, he's available and he's not, because mm-hmm. in a way, he has this way of not answering questions, particularly tough questions, where he'll kind of ramble and mumble, and you're kind of thinking, like, okay, what did he say? Did he say yes? Did he say no? I don't know. And then you're kind of put off, and you try to ask the follow-up, and he moves on to somebody else and something else, and he's even walked away in the middle of people asking him questions. And, you know, you get an opportunity to ask him the questions, you just don't always get answers. And in that way, he hasn't been overly transparent
and
in the way he likes to portray himself.
And, well, and very quickly, just to build on that point, Melba, I think this is very important. I think that the mayor, in terms of his communication style, often deliberately uses his inarticulateness
mm-hmm.
to get at
Absolutely.
The very things that David's talking about. This is not a guy who will win an oratorical competition, to be sure, but he's also somebody who is more articulate than we often hear him being, and that's in part because he knows he can use that to evade tough questions.
Absolutely.
You know, the mayor in his statement today said that the voters expect you to lead, to make difficult decisions rooted in what's right for them. For 21 years, that's what I try to do. Not everyone's so agreeable with the mayor and some of the tough decisions he's made. Lee from Chicago, thanks for joining us. Lee from Chicago, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Sure can. Tell us a little bit about your reaction today when you heard about the mayor's announcement, and what do you think the legacy is going to be?
Well, I don't know what my reaction is because I don't know what's going to follow him. He's done, in many ways, a wonderful job with a very difficult situation. He has, as the people to whom you just spoke, been very arrogant at times, namely, I mean, nothing else, of Migsfield disappearing overnight, talk about arrogance. He has done wonderful things. He has beautified the city tremendously. Millennium Park is a tourist magnet, and it brings a lot of money into town, so you can only praise him for that. We won't discuss how much it costs to redo the underground garage because the cloud weighed so much that it was collapsing the roof. Anyway, one of the things that I really, really find unacceptable, deplorable, and I feel he's walking away from, is the neglect of the streets and the thoroughfares. We're talking about everything from Michigan Avenue to Halsted to all of the cross streets near North Streeterville.
So some of the infrastructure you think has been neglected?
Oh, tremendously. I think it's been utterly, I think that's arrogant, because if it hasn't been done now, and it's fall, it's not going to be done this winter. So he's leaving whatever person, whomever, follows him up, a pile of mess that has to be cleaned up that he's left behind him and just washed his hands of it. You can't follow him so as to ruin his legacy. Another thing that has really bothered me in terms of neglect is the library system. The hours of the library now are short, strange, hard to hang on to. Sometimes they open at 12, sometimes they open at 9. They're regular hours, you know, all in all. But each day there is something different, which I also think has got to be very hard on the people who work there. Because how do you get child care if you have children in that weird schedule? So I think there's a certain amount of neglect there. I think there's a lot of room to clean up the patronage system. I think what we need more than anything else in the city, possibly more than anything else, is an oversight committee to oversee rather than to overlook, to oversee every department, a group of people who are trustworthy, longtime Chicago people of importance, to be given the role of going over budgets of every, and overhiring and everything that has to do with every single department, one at a time. It'll be a very long and tedious process, but I think we could close so many gaps and so many holes money-wise that we might not be in a hole. One more thing is the privatization.
Yes, privatization, actually a good point. Lee, I'm going to let you go on that point so I can have a conversation with Cook County Clerk David Orr, who's joining us now on the line. David Orr, thanks for being with us.
Sure.
We appreciate it.
Quite a day.
What was your reaction when you heard the announcement today?
Well, I wasn't totally surprised because I'd heard some rumors in the last couple of weeks, but this is a political bombshell. Obviously, this town is so used to Daley's as mayor, and it's really kind of puts everything up in the air. I feel a little sorry for our candidates running for governor and senator, because that's a very important election, and it's just 2 months away, but this is going to stimulate incredible political interest in the future of the city. And I guess some of it's really good, though, because, you know, whether you like the mayor or not, the bottom line is this will stimulate a lot of policy discussions, which I think will be good for the city.
This is David Shaper. Mr. Clerk, I'm curious. You held the position for a few days, 5 days, was it?
Oh, yes. It was a long week, yes.
And quite a time.
I'm quite experienced,
that's right,
yes.
That's right.
I wanna, first of all, would you consider running again?
Well, I'm really not thinking about it, but like kind of any politician, I would not rule out, you know, anything and everything.
Well, I'd like to ask you, just if you go back to that time 25 years ago and the divisiveness that existed in the city of Chicago, exemplified by the council wars in city council, do you think, to what extent does this mayor deserve at least some credit for the racial healing and some political unification in the 90s and the 2000s?
Well, I think that's a good point. I think he deserves some credit. You know, I'm not his biggest fan, but I certainly appreciate the guy's given a lot to this town, so I certainly appreciate that. Yeah, I think on that level, although, remember, I'm a little bit of a you have to look at how some of that happened. In other words, when people go along for, let's say, non-force reasons, then I think that's really good. And I do think the mayor's done a lot. You know, he's tried to deal with this crime issue. He's been to a lot of neighborhoods and so forth. So he's certainly reached out to the African-American community. I think he's come a long way from, you know, where he was perhaps back in the 70s and 80s. But I also don't want to forget the reality of the power in City Hall of compelling people to go along with things. That's the part that I don't like. And when you've got all those jobs, and remember all the people went to jail because of the misuse of the jobs, in other words, the aldermen always didn't go along because they wanted to. But your general point, I think, is a good one, that he certainly reached out and he deserves credit for it.
But he co-opted his way? Is that one way of putting it?
Well, let's put it like this. Almost all mayors, except for this one who went there long enough, know how to use power. And I think power can be used wisely and power can be misused. And I think this mayor has done both. He's used power wisely, I think, to build things for the city. And I think he's used power unwisely in those circumstances where he relied on people who went to jail for, you know, things like illegal hiring and so forth.
And David Orr, help us understand, because for those who aren't from Chicago or might be listening to this conversation from another part of the country or the world, they have a hard time understanding how being governor of Illinois or being a U.S. congressman might be a less attractive job to an aspiring politician than being mayor of the city of Chicago. You talked about the power of the mayor's office. Help me understand, help us understand what makes it such an attractive job vis-a-vis some of those others I mentioned.
Well, I think for one, remember, executive positions, I mean, legislators, congressmen, you know, they can talk about a lot of different issues and they get to vote. But mayors and governors, for that sake, you know, they have so much power that comes way beyond voting for something. The mayor can pick candidates. The mayor, for example, I hope our next mayor will jump out there on the environment in a way that we've not seen and talk about conserving things and trying to build for the future. So there's a lot of things you can do. You got a bully pulpit. Where legislators are pretty much stuck with trying to pass this particular pass legislation or opposing this piece. The mayor gets to pick all these people for all these agencies. The mayor can be on the news every night if they want to. So there is a lot of power there. And also Chicago is a premier city. It's one of the things that's happened under Daley, to his credit, is that Chicago is recognized as a world-class city. We may not be as big as the Mexico cities and other places around the world, but we're seen as a world-class city. So you have the power that goes with it. Now, remember, though, let's just jump quickly, if you don't mind, is that the next mayor is going to face some tremendous economic and financial problems, like our next governor is going to. So it may not be as nice. When Rich took over back in 1989, things economically were much better. And soon after that, particularly the federal government started giving more money to the city. And so there were some real advantages. Now we're talking about a city that has some really serious financial issues, and so then the next mayor is going to have to find a way to deal with that. And the real world, as we know, very few people want to give up any services. Nobody wants to get laid off. And there's probably not much money coming from the federal government or the state government. So that'll be one of the things debated over the next few months is how do we continue Chicago as a world-class city and yet deal with this financial squeeze.
And very quickly, what do you think the next 4 years look like on that score? I mean, the news seems to be bad and getting worse structurally when it comes to budget deficits and so forth. There hasn't been a big appetite among voters to see tax increases. Expenditures are rising and so forth. So what's that add up to for you? Where do you think this goes?
Well, I think it means tightening the belt. I think it means more efficient government. I think it means reaching out to the whole city. I mean, one of the things that I've been critical about over the last several years is when you've got the inside crowd, when you kind of got the old machine, people feel like, oh, hell, you know, I don't have a chance of getting a good job. I might have a good company or I can make a good product, but they're not going to even give me a look because I don't know somebody. I think for Chicago to survive in this economic situation, we've got to get people really working together on a lot of things, and you've got to save. You've got to use the money more wisely. You know, we criticize the county for not applying for all the grants it could get. Well, there's similar things like that. So, I don't think it's necessarily going to be a really bad time. I think we got some very serious issues, but it doesn't mean we can't survive.
Thanks very much, David Orr.
Okay.
Great talking with you. Cook County Clerk David Orr here on WBEZ. This very brief statement from Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. earlier today saying that the mayor built or rebuilt Chicago and turned it into an international center for business and tourism. He says he was never close to the mayor, but he certainly left an imprint on America's greatest city. Regarding potential successors, says Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., I expect there'll be numerous candidates, but only few can mount a serious bid for mayor.
No word about whether or not he'll be one of those.
Okay. We're going to hear a lot, I think, in the next few days, very briefly, David, about I think I'm going to be quiet on this candidacy question.
Speaking of statements, the White House just issued a statement from the president on Mayor Richard M. Daley. And it says, if I can read it here, no mayor in America has loved a city more or served a community with greater passion than Rich Daley. And it goes on to congratulate him on his fine service. And that's the statement of President Barack Obama. And no word from the White House on whether or not Rahm Emanuel will be returning home, the chief of staff of the president, to run for mayor.
And very quickly on that point, he issued a statement saying much the same thing. While he surprised me today with his decision, Rahm Emanuel says to not run for your reelection. I've never been surprised by his leadership, dedication, and tireless work on behalf of the city and people of Chicago. No word yet as David David just mentioned on whether that means he might be a candidate.
And we'll keep an eye on that, certainly. And on our Facebook page on WBEZ, Steve Edwards, we've been asking people for some suggestions on who they think should be running for mayor. And also go to WBEZ.org to see more coverage. You have been listening to live special coverage of Chicago Mayor Richard Daley's announcement today that he will not seek re-election. Our coverage was produced by Ahmad Omar with assistance from Becky Vlamis. Our director was Justin Kaufman. Our engineer was Liz Bustamante. Editors for our coverage were Kay Cahan and Sean Ali. Reporting from political reporter Sam Hudzik, as well as Tony Arnold, Gabriel Spitzer, Hunter Klaus, Alex Keefe, NPR's David Shaper, and WBEZ's Tony Sarabia. We had assistance from Susie Ahn, Emily Walensky, and Andrew Gill, Sarah Smith, and Kaylin Hall. The managing editor of public affairs is Sally Isley. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mel Ballara with Steve Edwards. You're listening to WBEZ.